So I listened to part of Charlie's message. I will guarantee you, I'm not going to sing to you at the end of the service. No guts, no glory, right? Yeah. And I got no guts when it comes to that. All right. I like that song we just sang. There's so much fear out there right now. And we should not have fear. We should not have fear. Bible just says, fear God. Fear God. But we don't fear flesh and blood. We don't fear governments. We don't fear agencies. I mean, there's a biblical way to exist with them, but we don't fear them. Okay? Fear God. And a good reason not to have fear is because our Father loves us. Just like as a small child, and I know this may not be true of all of you, but as a child, hopefully you had a father that protected you, protected your family, and maybe you did not, but you now, if you've accepted the Lord, you have a heavenly Father that will. But like a child. And this passage, Jesus is just, he's been preaching all these things and just astounding people with God's perspective on his word. Sometimes we read his word and we get something out of it, but Jesus was opening people's eyes to things. And he's, the Beatitudes and just all these teachings on sin. And then he gets into being the light of the world and how we deal with people. And the last time I spoke 2 weeks ago about judging others and how we do. We do, and how to do it properly. And those kinds of things. And he gave us a word of caution about it. He says, don't cast your pearls before swine. And, don't give the good things to the dogs and all that. So we have to have, and what I talked about last time was we need a spirit of discernment, but not a critical spirit. Okay? Critical spirit does not please God, but spirit of discernment does. And so he's given us this word of caution regarding that. And then now he moves into this next, these six verses that we have here. And what you got to realize is when you read the Gospels, Jesus is always pointing us to the Father. And I think sometimes in Christianity, we elevate Jesus kind of at the expense of the Father a little bit. It's Jesus. He's the one. He is worthy. And he was the lamb that was slain. But for God so loved the world that he sent his Son. The Father. It's the Father's love. And of course, that's the conundrum, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all God, but they're different roles. But it's all born out of the Father's love for humanity. And sometimes we kind of forget that. Again, Jesus went to the cross for us and paid the price for absolutely worthy to be praised and lifted up and all that. And he's worthy of worship. He is God. We can worship him. But I think sometimes we forget about the Father. And Jesus, when you go through Scripture, it was always about the Father. I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm here, at the Father's bidding. The Father knows what I'm doing. He was always referring people to his Father. And so I want you to get that kind of concept regarding these verses as we go through them, because Verses right here, today's verses, it's like a parent dealing with their kids. And God deals with us. That's our relationship with Him, is it not? We're adopted into His family. He's our Heavenly Father. We're His children. And so we got to remember that, you know, He's not just God. I mean, He is God, but He comes to us as a loving, caring Father. And He treats us as His children. Yes, sometimes He disciplines us. Sometimes He blesses us. Sometimes we do things and He's maybe a little distant because we've disappointed Him. Anybody that's been a parent knows those times, you know, when you're raising your kids and that kind of thing. But that's the picture He paints for us here. And we need to start thinking of ourselves as children of God a lot more than we do. I believe that. We got to remember who we are. And so he's been describing all these things in Matthew so far in the Sermon on the Mount. And man, when you read all these things, you know, even going forward, you know, from this point to the end there at the end of 7. It could be overwhelming. Really? I'm supposed to live like this? I'm supposed to, you know, all these things? Yeah. That's the standard that Christ is painting for us. And so to do this, Jesus understood we need the Father's wisdom in our life. We need the Father's love. We need the Father working in our life in order to do these things, in order to be the people He's called us to be. So He's pointing us to the Father as the one and only source of wisdom, strength, power, knowledge, understanding. Go to the Father. And He gives us, getting to the first point, a prescription for that. How do we get these things? How do we get the things we need? You know, you go to to CVS or Walgreens or wherever, and you got something wrong with you, and the doctor has prescribed it, and you go there with a prescription, and they give you some medicine that you need to hopefully take care of the condition you're in, hopefully. I mean, it doesn't always work. Man's ways are not perfect, but God's ways are. And He's given us a prescription. We have needs, in other words. We have needs, and God has a prescription on how He wants to meet our need, but it's got to be His way, folks. You know, so many times we do it our way. We see what we need or what we think we need, and we go about it our way, and then when it doesn't work, we go to God. God, you know, I need this. Where are you? You know, and all that. And here we have, in the Word of God, a prescription, a remedy for that problem, a way to get what we need from our Heavenly Father. And so we're going to go through these verses you know, if you want wisdom or really anything, whatever your need might be, there's three things you must do. And in verse 7 we have, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened to you. And we see, first of all, we need to ask. And that is sincere supplication. Sincere supplication. Sincere. You know, how many times do you pray and it's kind of like, you know, Lord, you know, I really need blessed, you know, I really need this to work out, and then we just keep doing what we're doing. You know, we kind of bring Him in, you know, kind of spiritualize what, you know, what we're doing. But this is sincere supplication, sincere prayer, sincerely going before God. You know, I got on here as a little illustration as a traveler that asks the way. You know, and I know in these days of GPS and phones and, you know, and all that stuff. But I remember, you know, times when, you know, you didn't have that and you'd be in an area, maybe you got a map, but it's under construction, the roads are all crazy, and You know, Kathy and I were just talking before the service about San Antonio. If you've never been there, the guide we had said that the roads were laid out in San Antonio by a drunk guy on a blind mule. And if you've ever driven on those roads, I mean, they are absolutely nuts. And if you don't know where you're going, you're in trouble, okay? It's just, but when you're lost, and you're really lost, and you don't know, and you pull over, and you go to a gas station, or you go to some place, and you ask somebody, you're really sincere. You're like, I need to get here, and I don't know the way. And so, would you please tell me, you know, you're sincere. You know, this is no game. You're not, you know, you're not fooling around. You know, I really need to get where I'm going. I totally don't know where I'm at. You ever feel that way in your life? You know, you're like, where am I going? Where you got me going, God? I think I'm on the right path, but I'm really not sure. Stuff's happening. I don't get it. And so you go to the gas station. And you get, and you know, they always tell you things like, because you're not from there, you know, go down there, go down to the third light, hang a right, blah, blah. You know, they tell you, they talk to you like that, you know. And, but you find the way, they give it to you, and then you submit to it. You don't really know where you're going, but you're believing what they told you. I am going to go to the third light. I am going to make a right. I am going to go down by the church and make a left or, you know, whatever. You do those things. Why? Because you believe it. You know, the guy's got no reason to lie to you. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father has no reason to deceive us. He loves us. He wants us to be on the right path. So we need to submit to Him. But we've got to ask sincere supplication in this verse in Daniel. You know, Daniel had a need. And look at this is Daniel writing in the first person, talking about himself. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I mean, this is a sincere guy. This is a guy that wants to know God's will. He wants to know what's going on, you know, whatever it may be. And you know, he you know, sackcloth and ashes, that was a way of humbling yourself before God in the Old Testament. They would get ashes and they put ashes on. It was a way of humbling themselves. They'd sit in ashes and they'd have like sackcloth on, they'd tear it, and they'd go before God. You know, how serious are we when we go to prayer? How serious are we about it? Are we really broken before God, wanting to know what God would have us do? How serious are we? Or do we just say that quick prayer in the parking lot on the way in? Okay, Lord, here it comes. Help me out. You know, and I've done those. Listen, you know, we all go down different roads and things, but how serious are we? I mean, sincere supplication. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. And then he says, seek. Seek, and you shall find. And this is seek. This is diligent searching. You know, this isn't like, you know, you ever kind of, you're looking for something, and you just kind of, no, it's not here. You know, and you don't even look. You know, you don't even look for it. You just kind of look around. Well, it's not here. And then somebody else comes behind you. Well, here it is right here. You ever have that happen to you? I've had it happen to me. Didn't really look. But, you know, when you need something from God, are you really looking? Are you searching? Because you see, there's more to getting something from God than just prayer. You know, God is not like Santa Claus. You know, kids write their Santa Claus wish list and bam, it magically appears, you know. That's not how God works. Now, He can do that, and sometimes He has done that. You know, just bam, does it for you. But most of the time, He wants us to put some effort in, to diligently seek. It's more than just prayer. Look at these verses in Luke chapter 13. Jesus spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit and didn't find any. Okay, so this is the Lord, and he's got a vineyard, and he's got a tree planted in it. And the Lord comes, and he says, wow, there's no fruit on this tree. And he says to the dresser of the vineyard, this is the guy working the vineyard. He says, behold, 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it in the ground? In other words, why are you wasting the land with this tree? We should cut it down and plant something that will give fruit. Why waste the land? And he answers. So he says kind of a prayer, because he's speaking. You know, anytime you speak to the Lord, it's prayer. You understand that? It doesn't have to be our Father. You know, anytime you're talking to God, that's a prayer. That's all prayer is talking to God. And he says, Lord, let it alone this year also. Till I, dig about it and dung it. In other words, modern language, cultivate and fertilize. I'm going to cultivate it. I'm going to pull the weeds. I'm going to make sure it gets watered. I'm going to put fertilizer in there, beef up the soil. I'm going to do that's work, folks, for a year. For a year. And he says, and if it bears fruit, great. And if not, go ahead and cut it down as you please. You're the Lord. You know, we must not be satisfied with just praying about something. And so many times we are. You know, we're just like, well, I brought it to the Lord and nothing happened. You know, you need a job. So you go, you're at home. I need a job. I need a Lord. Lord, bring me a job. Are you going out looking for one? I mean, honestly. You know, are you just sitting there? Okay, Lord. You know, it's been 3 weeks now. Running out of food. Running out of money. I need a job. Well, how about go out and look for one? And see where the Lord guides you. Diligent searching. We can't be satisfied. We must couple our prayers with effort. That's not lack of faith, but God works through our efforts. He works through our circumstances. And a lot of times you can apply for a job at one place and you end up getting a job at a place you didn't even try because somebody told something. That's when God's working. You know, you just do what you can do and let God do what only He can do. You know, so many times we want to take on what God. We want to sit there and be like God and, you know, will this job into our life. I'm just using that. You know, it's just a real simple illustration that we can probably all identify with. You're out of a job and you need it. God knows you need it. Diligent searching. But then there's a third component to this, the knocking. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Enduring stamina. We must persevere in prayer and seeking until you get an answer. You persevere. You know, the keeper of the vineyard worked for a year. He worked for a year. You know, it's kind of like when I used to work for Sears and go to people's houses and knock on the door. Normally I hit the doorbell, but I learned not to hit the doorbell because half of them don't work. Then you're standing there and you're not sure, you know, I didn't hear it, you know. So I just got to where I just knocked on every door. And so, you know, I'd knock on the door. And you wait. Now, you'd already talked to the person. They knew you were coming. And, you know, you hate leaving because a lot of times they make you go back and it really messes up your day. So, you know, while I'm there, I want to get their attention. So I'd knock. They don't. Nobody comes to the door, so I knock harder, and then, you know, I walk around, I look in the backyard if I can, you know, some places you can't, but a lot of places you could, you know, look in the backyard, maybe they're out back, maybe they're in the shower, I don't know, maybe they're somewhere, But I mean, I would persist until I was really certain they weren't home before I left, because I did not want to go back. Because normally by the time they figure out to send you back, you're way away from where you were. Now it's really messing you up. Okay? But the bottom line is you don't give up. You knock and you knock and you knock. And when, you know, God knows your need, so you just keep knocking. But how many times do we just kind of, you know, oh well, nobody's home. We just walk away. God's like, well, I guess you really didn't want it that bad. Think about it. But this is the Father's prescription. He says, you know what? If you need something, and I'm not talking about material stuff. I'm talking about like wisdom and a discerning spirit, the things that we need to work for God in this world. You pray, you seek it, you knock, and you just keep going. You don't give up. And it's really cool because, you know what? The Father makes promises. He goes right in to the next verse. It says, ask, ye shall be given. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. Why? For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be open. Those are promises. Those are promises. Our labor in prayer and work and endurance will not be in vain. Something's going to come of it. Now, maybe not what you're expecting, but something's going to come of it. See, our problem is we think there's only one answer. You know, oh, I'm asking God for this. Well, you know, this is what I'm going to get. Oh, well, God's turning me down. What happened to that verse? He's going to give it to me. Well, you're asking, what does James say? He says you ask, but you ask the wrong things. The Father's promises. And here's some cool things about His promises. Number one, it's free. In verse 7 it says, ask and it shall be given you. Given to you. It's given to you. Isn't that cool? You don't even have to buy it. You don't have to borrow it. You know, you don't. It's given to you. Not sold, not lend, or lent to you. It's given. It's free. James, if any of you lack wisdom, or you fill in the blank, if any of you lack direction, if any of you lack discernment, if any of you lack forgiveness, what is it that you lack? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives. It gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Upbraideth just means like doesn't put you down for it. You know, it's like when Jesus upbraided the disciples. It's like kind of talk. It gives you the picture of, you ever talk to your kids through clenched teeth? You know, you're mad at them, you know, they did something, you're like, wait till I get you home. You know, I'm going to tear you up. You know, but God won't do that to you. Maybe, you know, maybe He was up there all this time wanting you to ask Him, and now you finally asked Him, okay? He let you go down all these roads, and none of it worked out, and you know, and all these trials and tribulations that you didn't have to go through, and now you're finally coming to Him, and you say, okay, Lord, I've done it 25 times my way. I'm ready to do it your way. You know what? He doesn't put you down for that. He's just glad you learned the lesson. He's just pleased that you're finally turning to Him. That's all it is. And He's not going to put you down. He knows you've got to find your way. You know, all of us learn differently. And some of us learn quicker than others. And God's patient. He just waits for us to come to Him. And and when you do ask, He's not going to put you down. Oh, now you're asking me. He doesn't do that. He loves you. It's just what He wanted to do. Maybe it was 10 years ago He wanted to do it for you, but you never asked. But He just patiently waited. And then when you did ask, He was glad. He was pleased because you asked. And He says, So he's not going to put you down. He's not going to put you on a guilt trip. He's just going to be, amen, I'm glad you came to me. Now we can do something together. And when he repeats it, he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him or her. It's free. That's one promise. Second promise, it will be found. It will be found. He says, everyone that asks receives. And everyone that seeks finds. It will be found. You will not lose your labor. Listen to me. God is found of those who seek Him. God is found of those who seek Him. And if you do find Him, and you will, the Bible says, it will be enough. It will be enough. You know, you may be asking God to supply some need, and you think the need is this much, but maybe God supplies this much. Well, you know what this much is? What you needed. It's what you needed, not what you wanted, what you needed. When I teach these young girls down at the Rose of Sharon, I spend a lot of time on, hey, everything you want is not what you need. But we tend to use the word need. I need a new pair of shoes. Well, wait a minute, you got 50 pair of shoes in the closet. You don't really need, you want a new pair of shoes. You know, I need another fishing pole. You know? Oh, a lot of women going like that. You know, need a new fishing pole. No, you have like five fishing poles or whatever. You want another. You know, but that's, isn't that what we do though? We tend to say, I need this, I need that, I need this. I need. And when I pray, I pray because I need this much and God gives you this much. Because you know what? He wants you to be dependent on Him, not on yourself. He does give you what you need. God is found to those who seek Him, and if you find Him, you will have enough. You will have enough to make a decision. You will have enough to do what's right. You will have enough to please Him. It will be found. And third, it builds your faith. He says, and to him that knocks, it shall be open. You know, it doesn't say it might be opened or it will be opened or it could be opened. It shall be opened. You know, it's almost like, you know, if somebody says, hey, I got to come into the church. Are you going to be there? And I say, well, yeah, I think I'll be there or I'll be there. Or if I say, hey, come, I shall be there. Sounds a lot more definite, don't it? Way more definite than, yeah, I'm usually there. No, I shall be there. When you use that word shall, that's like declaring. You know, and he says, it shall be opened. As God opens doors, your faith will grow. You know, look at this verse, Psalm 62. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. You know, what are your expectations on? Is it on what you think should happen, or is it on what God thinks should happen? Is your expectation on God, or on yourself, or on your friend, your neighbor, whoever? We need to depend on the Lord. Depend on the Father to meet the needs that we have. My expectation is from Him. You know, sometimes we apply for a job. I don't know why I'm just on the job thing, but because it's just concrete. And you apply for a job and you have a certain expectation of what that job's going to do for you. And then you get into the job and maybe it isn't what you thought it was going to be. And you're let down. Or you can look at it as, well, this is the job God allowed me to have, and this is the way it is, so there's something here for me. My expectation is from God. You know, apply it to your marriage. What did you expect out of your husband, out of your wife? There's certain things that we expect, or we had an expectation. Did you expect something? You know, especially new marrieds, you know, they're going into it, and they're like, they got all these expectations, and then you know how it is. You live together for a couple years, and some of those expectations didn't happen. It's disappointing. Do you understand that God doesn't disappoint? You place your expectations on Him, and whatever way it goes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that builds your faith. You know, when you're in that dark place and you're like, wow, I need the Lord. And so you go in prayer and supplication and all these things. You know, you ask, you seek, you knock, you do these things. And you go and behold, God does something. And you go, wow. It builds your faith. And then the next time something comes, it could be something bigger. And you place your expectation on God, and God delivers as only He can. In His way, by the way, may not be the way you thought, but He does come through, and it builds your faith. And what that does, as you go through life and you hit all these different situations, some of them what we would call minor, some of them what we would call major, the faith, your faith grows. And you can trust Him for the big thing. You know, Jesus taught, if you're faithful in a small thing, then you'll be faithful in a big thing. You know, David, when he fought Goliath, you know, he wasn't just some inexperienced boy. David declared it. He said, you know what? King Saul said, how can you go? You're just a kid. And he goes, you know what, King? A lion and a bear came, and through God, I defeated the lion and the bear, and through God, I will defeat this uncircumcised Philistine. I love that, man. He was bold. Why was he bold? Because God had already worked in his life on some things that nobody ever saw. He was a shepherd boy out by himself with the flock, and he killed a lion and a bear. And nobody knew. Probably nobody saw it. He probably came home one time and said, yeah, bear came and, you know, I had to kill him. You know, he's threatening the flock. But nobody knew about it. But when you're faithful in a smaller thing, it builds your faith. So when it came time to fight Goliath, he's like, man, I already beat a lion and a bear. And I got the living God on my side. And I'm going to take this guy out. And you know what? Whatever the Goliath is in your life right now, God will work in your life if you ask Him. And you'll get past that Goliath, whatever it is. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the... might even be a person in your life that's causing you a lot of grief. Build your faith. And the more things you do and God comes through, the more you trust Him. Funny how it works, but it does work. Then lastly, we see the Father's parenting. We see His prescription, we see His promises, and now we see His parenting. 9 through 11, He says, what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? It's kind of a funny verse, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, I've had my kids ask me for food before. Grandkids, I'm hungry, Grandpa. You know, I don't go out in the garden and pick up a rock and hand it to them and tell them to, okay, you know, chow down. You know, I don't do that. But you know what? Satan did it. Jesus is out there in the wilderness for 40 days, right? Hungry. He was a man just like you and me. Person needs food. Satan's out there. And the Bible says he was hungry. And Satan appears to him and goes, hey, if you're the Son of God, take these stones. Make them bread. Satan does it. you know, as a child is toward a parent. You know, as we look to our parents. I mean, you know, small children, they look to their parents like they're God. I mean, think about it. They supply all their needs. They protect them. They discipline them. They do all the things God does. Difference is we don't do it perfectly as parents, do we? We mess up. We get angry and different things and do things we're sorry for later sometimes. But just like to a small child, I mean, you know, man, it's like an endless supply of money, right? You know, the child doesn't think that, you know, dad's gone all week, you know, making this money. It just seems like every time they need something, dad pulls out his wallet, there's more money, you know? It's like God, you know, just he never runs out. And as a child is toward a parent, so we must trust that God has more wisdom. You know, children don't have wisdom. They're born foolish. And what's really sad is some people never grow out of that. Sometimes people never learn, and it's very sad. But God has more wisdom than your parents. He says, what man is there? If you ask bread, he'll give him a stone. You know, God knows. He's wise. He knows what you need. He has wisdom. He knows what you need. And he'll give you what you need. He won't give you a stone. He'll give you what you need. Unless what you need is a stone. Then he'll give you a stone. But he gives you what you need. He knows what his children need. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you believe the Lord knows what you need? Because sometimes we spend a lot of time praying for stuff, and I wonder how much of that stuff is God's like, you don't need that. That's called discernment, folks. Sometimes we need to know when the answer is no. God always answers. Yes, no, wait. Okay? And we got to have discernment to know when the answer is no. Because no is an answer. So if God hasn't answered my prayer, well, maybe he has. Maybe your situation's not going to change. Think about Paul. Had the messenger of Satan, the Bible calls it. And he prayed to God three times, said, God, you know, take this from me. God said, nope. You know, if I did that, you wouldn't do what I'm going to ask you to do. It's for your benefit that I do not answer that prayer. Because God looks at our situations differently than we do, doesn't he? We need to understand that. He knows what his children need. He has more wisdom than you, folks. We think we know what we need, and we pray to him according to our wisdom, but God answers in his. Secondly, God has more warmth. I like this next one. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? I mean, Jesus just doesn't say this stuff flippantly. There's purpose here. You know, I mean, I love my children, and if one of my children asked me for a fish, I mean, fish was food, okay? We're talking food here. You know, am I really going to give him a snake? Food gives life. You know, a serpent, you know, the text of this is like a poisonous snake. You know, something that's going to harm you. Am I going to, you're asking me for something to sustain you. Am I really going to give you something that's going to harm you? No, I love you too much. I don't want you to be harmed. And God doesn't want you to be harmed. He has more warmth, more love. You know, I say this a lot at funerals. I tell when I do a funeral, somewhere usually in there, I'll say, you know, as much as you all loved so and so, God loved them more. You know, our God loves us more than we can possibly understand or comprehend. He's not going to give you a serpent if you ask for a fish. Third, God has more wealth. If you then, being evil, God thinks you're evil, folks. If you then, being evil, and we are, aren't we? We got the sin nature, right? I mean, you know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit working in me, who knows? And even then, I still screw up. And so do you. We got this sin nature that we have to be on guard against all the time. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? I love those three words. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those that ask Him? God has more wealth. He is able to give His children more than they need. Sometimes He does bless. Sometimes He gives us things we don't need. Sometimes He gives us things we just want. He does. I love those three words. How much more? God has all the resources in the world to meet your need. Your need. So we see the Father's prescription. We see His promises. We see His parenting. And He is such a good parent. He really is. But lastly, we see His principle in verse 12. Therefore, see, anytime you see therefore, look before. Because that's what He's talking about. Because of the things I've said, because of the things I said, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do to them. This is the law and the prophets. Now listen to me very carefully. It's the Father's principle here. We cannot expect to receive good things from the Father if we fail to be fair, honest, loving, and of good report toward others. I'm going to say that again. We cannot expect to receive good things from the Father if we fail to be fair, honest, loving, and of good report when we deal with others. I mean, think about it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. God loved you first. What does the Bible say? He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved us, so therefore we can love Him. And He expects us to treat one another the same way. We're to love one another. The two great commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. All this hangs. The law and the prophets. It's the verses that I have there in Matthew, later in Matthew 22. Jesus said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. On the second is like unto that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Think about the law, Ten Commandments. The first four, it's all about God. Don't take His name in vain. Don't make idols. Worship only God. Keep the Sabbath, the holy day, because God rested. We're to emulate God. And then 5 through 10, it's all about how you treat your parents, how you treat one another. Don't steal, don't murder, don't covet, you know, all those things. Don't lie. That's all you got to do is love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? You fulfill all 10 of those automatically. God makes it so simple. And the prophets, all they did was speak the same stuff. They were constantly calling Israel back to God, back to God. All the time. Back to God. And pointing the way to Christ through which we could have forgiveness one for another and have relationship the way God intended one to another. To be devout without honor is hypocrisy. to be devout, you know, to act like you're all spiritual, to be, you know, I go to church, I give to the church, I serve, I do all these things, but you don't have honor in dealing with other people, that's hypocrisy. That's his principle. He lives his principle towards us. That's what these first five verses are about. It's how good he is to us. So likewise, we are to love him back, but we're also, it's a picture of how we're supposed to treat one another. What a wonderful invitation we have from our Heavenly Father. You know, what this is an invitation. He's saying, come and ask me. Come and seek me. Come and knock. And I'll open it up to you. It's an invitation. He's inviting us into a deep, fulfilling relationship with Him as we live out our lives on earth. You know, we're going to have that relationship with Him when we die and go be with Him. We'll have that. But you know, we're supposed to have it now. It's supposed to be now. You don't wait to die to have that. It's open to us now. If we'll only accept the invitation. As we draw close to Him in prayer, labor, and faith. That's really what He's talking about. Ask, seek, knock. It's just pray, work, do your part, and believe. Okay? As we draw close to Him in those areas, He promises to reveal Himself to us in deeper and greater ways, more than we could ask or think. You know, Paul put it best in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto what? The Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you the Father, that He is the Father, that He would grant you, according to, there's the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the might, there's His strength, by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There's faith. And you, being rooted and grounded in love. There's love. Are you rooted in it? Being rooted in it means, you know, you deal with everyone from the aspect of love. You care about their future, even the ones that you honestly don't get along with, don't like. Maybe they give you a bad time at work or, you know, whatever. But you ought to have a love for them the way that God loves them. And you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of God's love. And we can't comprehend it, really. We can try. I mean, honestly, how can God love Hitler? But He did. You know, pick the worst guy you've ever read about in the paper that's done these atrocities in our nation. God loved him too. The depth and the breadth and the length and the height of God's love. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Man. He says, you're going to know. You're going to experience. That word know, it's experience. You're going to experience the love of Christ which passes knowledge. In other words, you can't get it. You can't understand it. You just know it's there. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. And he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you know what? I can ask or think a bunch. And so can you. But he can do more than that. More than you ask. More than you think. Just might not be what you ask or what you think, see? Because we got to get on his page. You know, we spend a lot of our time praying, you know, a prayer of God blessing what we want to do, rather than praying a prayer of God, what do you want me to do, and then line up with him. We spend a lot of time making our plan and then asking God to bless it, and he might be up there going, that's not the best thing for you. He's going to do abundantly, exceedingly above all that we ask or think. That's where faith comes in. It ain't working out my way, Lord, but I trust you. I believe in you. I believe you got this. According to what? The power that works in us. Not our power. You know, so many times we try to serve God in our power. Our power. We try to do that. And it doesn't work. I mean, really, how puny we are. Think about this universe. How big it is, and then how small Earth is, and then we're like these little microscopic specks, and we think we got all this strength. You know, guys work out and everything, you know, and bench. What we would consider a lot of weight, 400, 500 pounds. How much does a mountain weigh? And God moves mountains. And we're sitting there with all of our machines and equipment and explosives. It takes us years sometimes to put a tunnel through a mountain, let alone move the whole mountain. God must laugh when we think we're strong. It's like, he's like, you guys don't even know what strength is. But he wants to use his strength through you and me. And it's really cool when he does. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What a marvelous passage. And then he just says amen. So be it. So be it. And you know, when you read these things, it's like, so be it. Ask, seek, knock. So be it. That's what I want to do. Let it be done in my life. And then, Lord, I'll accept whatever the path is you send me on. I'll just go there. It may not be what I wanted, but I know one thing. You love me more than I can imagine, and it's the best thing for me. Even if I totally despise it and I think this is crazy. I have to know. That's faith. It is the best thing for me. If I know I'm in God's will, and this is what's going on, then it's the best thing. He's a good God all the time. What an invitation. What promises, what love. You know, it's the Father's love. Is God your Father? We've been talking about the Father, but is God your Father? Is he really your Father? Because he's only your Father if you've been adopted into his family. And the only way that happens is you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's the only way it happens. When you do that, he adopts you and he becomes your Father. And then all those things we just talked about, that becomes open to you. You are now in line to receive those blessings and those dealings as he deals in your life. And yes, and some of the unpleasant things, the corrections and the trials that God allows to make us better, to make us more like Jesus. For the rest of us, what's our prayer life like? Is it just quick prayer and we don't bother to seek or knock? How's your faith? Do you believe? Do you really believe? Do you believe enough that your actions, because that's what James wrote, right? Faith without works is dead. You can say you believe, but if you're not actually doing any, yeah, I believe that chair will hold me, but I never sit in it. I don't have faith. Faith and works, they reveal one another. You don't get saved by your works, but your works reveal your faith. How's your behavior towards other people, especially those that maybe you have to be in contact with once in a while and you don't really care for them too much? Or maybe somebody's treated you really badly. Honestly, they have. You know, maybe they really have. What's your attitude towards them? God loves them. Maybe God wants to use you to impact their life. And all you do is complain about them. A lot of things to think about, because this is all in the context of discernment. Knowing what God would have us do, especially regarding other people. People that Jesus came and died for, just like he came and died for you. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to give you a chance to respond. Anybody here would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I cannot honestly say that God is my Father, because I've come to realize this very moment that I have not been adopted. I'm not in the family of God, and God has revealed that to me, and I know I need to make a decision, and I'd like some prayer about that. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. If that's true, I hope that's true, that you know the Lord. I hope that's true. For the rest of us, how many would say, you know, Brother Mike, there are some people in my life I need to kind of fix my attitude towards, and I recognize that. I need prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I do like to ask a lot of things of God, but I haven't exactly been seeking or knocking a whole lot, and I need to kind of ponder that and add some things to my prayer life. Anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you. I come before you, Lord, on behalf of these that recognize they got some things to work on in their life. Father, I pray that even now, as you have revealed whatever it is they're thinking of, whatever person or whatever situation or whatever circumstance that has made them acknowledge that they need to do something different, Father God, I pray you'd work in their life. I pray you'd reveal to them the path you would have them take. I pray that you would move in a mighty way. Father God, as we come to you, I pray you would move on our hearts. Show us where we need to improve in these very important areas. And then give us courage. So, Father, I lift these ones up to you. I ask that you bless them, give them strength, give them wisdom and discernment as to where they should go, what direction they should take. Work with them now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time. You deal with God as God is dealing with you. Father, Lord God, we come to you as your children. Come to you as you're our Father, Lord. You're not just our God. You're our Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your care. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your working in our lives in oh so many different ways. And thank you for allowing us to serve you and work in your kingdom and have impact for you and represent you, Lord, here on planet Earth. Father God, thank you for that. Thank you for who you are in our lives. You are so big and large and powerful, and yet at the same time, you are so close and personal and intimate with us. Thank you for that, Lord. And Father, help us to always remember you have our best at heart when you deal with us. Give us wisdom and discernment. Give us strength and courage. And we thank you for it all and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.